That's a risky thing, because for a church to actually say, okay, I'm not just going to get someone who's going to be able to help with some kids work or something and be a sort of a cheap secretary, but actually I want to invest in someone for a year or two, and they might end up then sort of coming on staff or working in this church, or they might go overseas, or they might go to another church, or they might go to another part of the country where there's a real need. I mean, that's a risk, isn't it? But it's that's a kingdom-hearted thing,
sure,
to do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And it's wonderful when you see that happen.
Hello and welcome to Independence, which is the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of national ministries for the FIEC, and I'm here today for this episode with Andy Harker. Hello, Andy. Nice to see you. How are you doing?
Good with you. Yeah,
good.
Very well, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks for coming up to Market Harbour, at centre of the universe, or centre of England, anyway, I think. Would you know we're as far from the water as it's almost possible to be in the UK? So there you go. That's some Market Harbour's claim to fame. But
that's good.
Thanks for joining us. Tell us, Andy, a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Okay, that's a good place to start.
That's all you need to know, really. Yep. I mean, I'm married to Susie, who I don't deserve a bit. And we've got three kids, 11 to 14. Not that many kids, but we have three. But those are their ages.
They're in that range.
In that range.
Just come a bit closer to the microphone. That will help people to hear you.
Sure. We go to Dundonald Church in Rains Park.
Okay. Which is a co-mission church, right?
That's right.
Near Wimbledon.
Yeah, absolutely. Live close to there. We've been there for, just coming up to 4 years now.
Okay. And where were you before then? Because that's quite an interesting story. Tell us where you were
before. We were in Kenya for about 7 years.
Right. And doing what in Kenya?
Working with basically a ministry apprenticeship program that had been set up by a Kenyan guy. Still going now. ISERV Africa.
Yep.
And it was a massive joy to be part of that team.
And it's worth searching, by the way, Googling ISERV Africa. They do great work. And you and I know a lot of the same people who are there working. And if you're interested in some of the things that are going on in Africa, great place to start, actually, isn't it? To find out.
Fantastic brothers. Yeah.
And what have you come back to the UK to do?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, we came back not to do something, in the sense that, you know, we came back because of parents getting older. And that was a sort of dynamic, and also because we felt like that we weren't really needed in Kenya anymore.
Which is a great position to find yourself in, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you sort of don't want to be the sort of the guy sort of hanging around. Everyone's thinking, like, why is this guy still here when these guys can clearly do a better job than him? Yeah. So, it seemed like the right time.
If only some pastors knew that as well. Anyway, that's a different episode of the podcast.
But yeah, we came back, and so we've ended up. I've sort of ended up doing a few things. One is directing 938.
Okay, I'll come back to that in a minute.
Another is being involved with the London Church Planting Academy. And I've also sort of been involved with a national ministry survey more recently as well.
Okay, so 938, let's start there. Just to be clear, Matthew 938.
That's where it comes from.
Not Zechariah 938. I don't know if there is a Zechariah 938.
I think someone did look up all the 938 verses.
Did they?
They were different range.
I'd love to ask if any of them were unfortunate connections, but let's leave that for a minute. Matthew 938, remind us what that is.
Yes, it's the prayer for the Lord to send out workers into the harvest field.
Right, okay.
So it comes on the back of that, the Lord saying that the workers are few, which I think a lot of people would... say is still the case.
Absolutely.
And then prayer for the Lord to thrust out workers into the harvest field.
And how does 938 help churches fulfill that, or see that prayer answered?
Mm. Well, I think it's very much that sort of helping, sort of coming alongside, catalyzing. Because, I mean, the workers, as you know, it's the local churches who mandated to be sending out those workers into the harvest field. But 938 is trying to come alongside and encourage that in a number of different ways. So one of the things it's done is, over the last 25 years, is really encourage ministry apprenticeships or internships or traineeships or whatever you want to call them. Because I guess 25 years ago, they weren't so common. Sort of more common. And so partly by providing a conference for trainees to be encouraged at, but also sort of walking with some churches through setting up a scheme. Okay. So occasionally...
So a church is interested in... just tell us what an apprenticeship might look like in a church.
It could look very different in different churches. But essentially, it'd be somebody who wants to sort of learn on the job. I guess it's different to sort of just a classroom academic training. It's training of actually having opportunities to do stuff, getting feedback on them, probably getting some actual didactic training as well. But that sort of mixture of ministry opportunity and actually doing stuff and getting some input and
typically
growing.
1 year, 2 years, common, that sort of length
often,
of time.
Often a year or two.
And I mean, I guess one of the critiques of that sort of scheme is it's just slave labour, isn't it? So how does a church approach it in a slightly more positive
absolutely.
Way?
Yes. No, that is, and it's possible for that to be the case and people not to be treated well. I think it needs to come from a church having a really kind of kingdom-minded heart to build people up, see people grow and sent out into the harvest field, wherever that might be. So there's only one harvest field at the end of the day, isn't there? And it's not ours. And it's the Lord who sends people out. So that's a risky thing because for a church to actually say, okay, I'm not just going to get someone who's going to be able to help with some kids work or something and be a sort of a cheap secretary, but actually I want to invest in someone for a year or two and they might end up then sort of coming on staff or working in this church, or they might go overseas, or they might go to another church, or they might go to another part of the country where there's a real need. And, I mean, that's a risk, isn't it? But it's that's a kingdom hearted thing
sure.
to do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And it's wonderful when you see that happen.
So in terms of churches maybe interested in exploring that for the first time, they might have contact with other churches, done similar things, but they could come to you, could they, for connections and advice?
I mean, learning from other churches is great, and I guess the FIC is connecting churches all the time. So if you can find churches which are doing that and possibly doing it in a similar kind of context to you and learn from them, that's great. I mean, 938 doesn't have all the answers, but we can do a bit of connecting people. And we've sort of developed a few resources of, you know, where you might start with things like finance, for example, is often a bit of a one that churches come along and say, okay, we'd love to have a trainee for a year or two, but like, how do we actually do that? Are they employees? Are they volunteers? Are they kind of a bit of both? Do we give them a bursary? Do we give them a training grant? You know, and that's a really tricky area. So we have taken a bit of advice from people like stewardship and stuff and put together a bit of resources on that. So there are some sort of practical things that we might be able to help with a bit.
And I suppose, you know, one of the things that people who don't know much about 938 might think is it's an Anglican movement. It's not, is it? There's a lot of FIC churches involved now in what's going on.
Yeah, I think when we've done the stats in terms of the churches sending trainees, for example, on to maximise, it's usually about sort of 45%, 55% in terms of FIC, Anglican. And in terms of the people speaking, the people in putting, the people kind of feeding into it, there's a big mix. So yeah, I think all the way from the start, it's always tried to be interdenominational and not sort of push any particular distinctives in terms of ecclesiology and that sort of thing. Mm. Other than saying, you know, the churches are the place where this stuff should be happening.
So some of the churches, FIC churches involved, City Church, Manchester, Christchurch, Southampton.
Yeah, so Ralph Cunnington was speaking at the Maximise conference recently, as was John T from Christchurch, Southampton.
Yep.
So they often send quite a few trainees, but also churches like Moorlands up in Lancaster.
Just student churches, or are most people who are doing apprenticeships and internships kind of fresh out of university, or is there a bit more of a mix than that?
Yeah, there is a bit of it. There is a common profile, I guess you'd say. There are quite a lot of ministry trainees who are in that sort of just post university and in university towns,
Christian gap year almost.
Yeah, I mean, they can often be. You know, I think it often happens that someone's been loving being sort of perhaps in CU leadership at university. Sure. They've been loving their student church. They've been involved with lots of stuff, and the church says, you know, why don't you stay for a year or two? We could sort of train you up, invest in you. And you know that does happen, and often those people then go off to other parts and bless the church in different places. But one of the things I noticed actually just the last couple of years in terms of the Maximise conference is there's been a bit of a shift from just a sort of an increasing number of churches with fewer trainees at them. So there's actually been more churches, but only kind of one or two.
It's not sort of one church with 10 trainees.
No, I mean, there are still sort of probably four or five churches which have 5, 6, 7, 8, but only a handful. Most of the other churches are just one or two. So I think that's one of the nice things about a conference where they can come together and actually meet other
Just because you're a smaller church, you've not done this before, you shouldn't be thinking, oh, this is not for me. I can't suddenly find work for five people.
I think increasingly that it's very much spread around. There's a lot of different, and also a lot of different contexts. I mean, as you say, there are sort of these pockets of universities where there are bigger churches and bigger trainee schemes. But a lot of the trainees are all over the place in often urban, but some rural areas, and not by any means just student churches.
And are people doing and thinking about classic kind of pastor teacher roles, or is it broader than that in terms of apprenticeships?
Yeah,
I think they can be more specialised than that.
Yeah, I think that's also kind of become broader. There are churches which are very much kind of thinking, join this trainee scheme, and particularly with a view to thinking about pastoral ministry. So there are churches which have that particular kind of distinctive. But a lot of them are thinking, you know, let's think really, really broadly. I think City Church Manchester is a great example of a church which has really thought, okay, let's think broadly of how can we do a sort of intensive discipleship and mentoring of people from a range of different trainings, who some of whom might go into full-time gospel work and a range of different sorts of gospel work, but others might go back into their workplaces, but thinking more Christianly about the work that they do, more able to serve in the local church. So I mean, that's an example of quite a broad kind of training scheme which has a load of different outboxes.
So I've come across music apprentices, serving in church in that capacity, and doing other things. You've said a little bit about, or you've mentioned a couple of times, the Maximize Conference. Tell us what that is. When is it? What's it for?
Yeah, so that's usually happened straight after New Year, so before anything else happens, sort of bang straight into first week of the new year, often, and largely ministry trainees, but also some who are at early stages of thinking about gospel work in terms of and not even perhaps even thinking in terms of a particular denominational or church policy type stream, but just thinking big picture, what am I going to do with my life? So there was a ministry trainee conference that has been going for 20 years or so, but then more recently there has been that sort of openness to people who are just thinking about very early stages of thinking about gospel work.
Right. So obviously FIC run them a hub conference, at the same time this year, as it happens. There's a little bit of differentiation between them, isn't there? How do you see that differentiation working?
Yeah, I think the one of the big differences is that the Maximize thing would be thinking very sort of early stages of thinking about it. As I understand it, the hub people are thinking quite intentionally. Yeah, I think certainly my church thinks this would be a really good thing for me to explore pastoral ministry or gospel work in quite a full-time intentional way within an FIC type setting. Whereas the profile of the people at the Maximize Conference tends to be a bit younger and tends to be much more kind of open sheep. Could go in all sorts of different directions.
So it's a slightly different place in the chronology, if you like.
Yeah. So I think
we
would encourage people who are, okay, if you maybe Maximize has sort of got your sort of thinking going and you're thinking next steps, absolutely. If you're thinking towards an FIC type direction, if that's the church that you're in, if that's where you're headed, then the hub would be a brilliant next step.
Yeah. And but Maximize is, people from cross nominations, aren't they, speaking on it? It's not just...
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for some who might be from an Anglican background, the next step might be the Future Leaders Conference, for example, within a sort of Anglican Renew context. So I think we're thinking sort of a bit more upstream, perhaps. I'm sure that there'd be people who go to the hub who are sort of still thinking about things, but that would generally be the difference. And not sort of, I guess, pushing into the distinctive. So Maximize would be much more just thinking, what is gospel work? What is gospel ministry? What are we here to do? What is evangelism? And get some very broad training on that. Sure. Whereas you wouldn't be sort of pushing into sort of the issues of how exactly might you make next steps, or what would pastoral ministry look like? What might be the challenges?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks. And where can people find out more? Website, I guess, place to go.
938.org.
938.org. Spelt out or numbers?
Spelt out.
So you've got to know how to spell 938.
That's right. It is a challenge. It is. Not to be confused with 318. 9:38.
It's the trendy thing to do at the moment, but I'd like to say you paved the way first.
Well,
before anybody else.
It was long before
bandwagon.
My time, but yes, yeah, they chose that well.
Great, and we'll put the link in the notes on the podcast page. So if you want to follow that through, you'll be able to find it. It's not the only string to your bow, though, is it? So you talked a little bit, or you just mentioned very briefly at the outset about the London Church Planting Academy. Sounds very grand.
It's a bit of a long, pretentious.
It needs
title.
A number. Yeah. It needs a number. That's what it does.
It does. We might well streamline it. Actually, I mean, we are quite seriously thinking that the London bit, although we're kind of it's sort of focused in London, based there and stuff. Actually, a lot of the stuff that's going on is actually far wider and national. So actually. The London isn't always the most helpful. So we might knock a few bits off it.
You might tell us a bit more about it then. What is it? Who's it for? How do you access it?
Yeah, I think the plan was a few years ago to try and draw together some of the stuff that is going on, not invent lots of new stuff, but draw together some of the stuff that is going on into a sort of curated space where people are kind of looking for training and churches who are thinking about how can we be training our church planters could go and just find some stuff that would be helpful. So it was always a sort of a collaborative thing with a number of different partners, including FIC, who were involved in the early meetings and a number of people, FIC guys, are involved in it now. There's a number of different things, but for the main ones, there's Co-Mission has been doing some church planter training for a number of years. So Richard Perkins, who was at the Hub Conference, has been doing some training for Co-Mission church planters. But the idea was to open that out so that others could be involved in that as well. And the way that it's kind of developed is that actually now, at least half, if not over half, of people involved are not Co-Mission guys.
Right.
So there's a number of FIC guys involved. There's also a few people zooming in. There's one guy who's zooming in from South Africa.
Okay.
Strangely, but great to have us.
We live in a different world now. We've all discovered that.
I guess that's pushed us in the last couple of years. And so we've got a sort of a hybrid mode for that. So there's the Co-Mission Church Planter Training. And we've been doing a sort of a little...
And is that for people who are... is it for people going into church planting or people who are already...
Yeah, that's a very
planters.
Good question. So three groups. People who are already planting... So they're in the sort of first two or three years of actually post-launch. People are preparing to launch, so they know this is where I want to go and do, but sort of preparing for that. But also people are sort of potential planters who are just exploring it. So there's been one or two who they haven't got a specific place they want to be involved with. Their churches are thinking, I think maybe a few years down the line this would be helpful for you to be involved with. And that's been great. So I think... we would encourage that really because I think one of the Richard Perkins' observations has been that sometimes you can get some input a little bit too late, I would have liked to have known this before. And actually to get a bit of exposure to that early and think, is this something I want to do? How would I start thinking about it? Could be helpful. So it's, potential preparing and actual planters.
Okay. Yeah. So you were about to go through your four things, weren't you?
I've got sub points, it's just terrible. But
it's a bit like listening to a Puritan sermon.
I know there'll be 10 sub points for point
yes,
three.
Yes, this podcast episode will last an hour and a half.
More briefly, that I'm involved with a Crosslands. So Crosslands Seminary has been going nationwide for a number of years, and great stuff. And so we've been grateful to host a tutor group, so the South London tutor group, which kind of over. I mean, there's some guys who are not involved in church planting, some that are, but I've loved being part of that. Union MTH, so Union in South Wales.
Yep.
So we've just started started with one guy actually just in the last few months, and also City to City London project. They were doing the incubator for church planters up in Manchester, and then they wanted to do it in London as well. So we partnered with them as well. And I was actually on that call this morning.
Okay.
And
you've been a busy man already today.
Neil Powell and Pete Nicholas have been doing a lot of teaching on that.
Yeah, many people will know Neil Powell was the pastor of City Church in Birmingham, FIC Church.
That's right.
And is now working with the London project in City to City.
Yeah, so he's been very generous in providing that. And so these things kind of, they work at slightly different levels. I guess the Commission Church Planter training is a bit more sort of nuts and boltsy and sort of how do you actually go about launching a church. The city-to-city stuff is kind of Tim Keller's middleware, you know, that sort of that mediating, how to think about what you're doing stuff, which has been really helpful. And then the crossings in union, that sort of theological level of what are you actually believing and what are your convictions?
So you said it's called London, that might drop. Are most people who are kind of plugging into that in the London Southeast area at the moment? Apart from the guy in South Africa.
Yeah, no, it's sort of grown gradually. Yeah, I mean, John Herring, who's just outside the M25, got involved. Yep. And then particularly when you started doing stuff on Zoom and everything, the incubator stuff involved a few guys in Birmingham. We've had another sort of short course, UMP Lite with Duncan Forbes, Urban Mission Programme, and that's involved people up all over the place in Oldham and Liverpool. Neil Powell also did a sort of a reading group accompanying the Centre Church, Tim Keller's Centre Church, and that had guys, I think there was a couple in America, a couple in South Africa. So it's become more dispersed. I guess there is a little bit of a London sort of focus, and we've got to be careful that we don't think London's the centre of the world, because obviously Margaret Harbour is the
centre of the world. Yes, it's undeniable. Is church planting in London different from church planting everywhere else? Are the differences about it? Is there a uniqueness about it? Or is actually church planting, you know, do church planters face the same challenges wherever they are?
That's a very, very good question. And I think that is something that we're still trying to work out exactly where these kind of lines are and different things. In some ways, we're finding that there are some things which are helpful in lots of different places. So, for example, the Tim Keller's Centre Church material, people have found that helpful in, you know, Korea parts of Africa and all over the place. Particularly that sort of conceptual stuff. Often we find in the Commission Church Planter training that there are elements that you think, okay, these are more transferable than others. We do try and be sort of going back to the word and being driven by that, so that there's an extent to which we are trying to sort of get back to the bedrock all the time. But there are distinctives, and yet sort of London is so it's a bit of a cliche, but it's so diverse that really to say is there anything specific about London, you know, it's going to vary massively. So there's a church planter who's with us who's looking to do something in Hounslow, largely South Asian community there. You know, that is a very, very different prospect that he's looking at to Vauxhall or to Southwest London. So, but I think the process of thinking through those questions, just thinking through, okay, what is distinctive? The what's, the why's, the where's, the who's? Those sort of that process of thinking it through, I think is helpful everywhere.
That's really helpful. Thanks. We'll also put a link in the notes to the London Church Planting Academy, Union, you've mentioned, Crosslands, the London Project. We'll put all the links there and people will be able to follow them through. And you just mentioned briefly about the church ministry survey. Mm. Tell us a little bit about what that is and you know, what it was all about.
Yeah, so the National Ministry Survey, I think John Stevens helpfully put a piece on the FIC website the end of last year. I think sort of October, November, that came out. I guess a big part of the initiative for that was the Passion for Life mission coming up, and a feeling from a number of different constituencies that it would be helpful to have some fresh data on what is the state of play nationally in terms of social attitude to openness to evangelism, but also church members' fears, worries, how they could be equipped in evangelism, but also church leaders. So there's sort of three strands to it. A couple of them were taken by one research company. Another research company took the church leaders survey. And actually, it's interesting that a very good number of FIC guys, thank you, I think it was almost 70% were FIC church leaders.
We love a survey, you see, that's what it is. Well, we non-conformists. Very,
you know, yeah. Appreciate that, yeah. You know, and that was
we're really very helpful. Democratic, that's why. That's what it is.
And I think, I should probably make a sort of an apology as well, because the categories for denominations were quite tricky to put on that survey. We were trying to work with some categories that are used by other surveys so that we could sort of cross. Yeah. But that it's very difficult. For example, congregational, does congregational mean your polity, or are you talking about a congregationalist church in the sense of a URC church? So
definitions are very slippery, aren't they?
They're tricky things. Yeah. So apologies to the people who are sort of found that difficult. But I think we were able to sort of clean up the data and work out actually, okay, these people are actually FIC guys and work that out. But it's helpful. So I mean that should be. That data should be out in the next week or two.
Okay. Sort of headlines coming out of it? Are there particular trends? You've got to keep your powder dry, obviously, but by the time this episode goes out...
Okay.
The data may have been released.
Well, there we go. So, we could even put a link to that website as well then. Various things I think I found interesting. I mean, one that particularly struck me was that almost half the non-Christian general public would be comfortable to attend a regular church service.
Okay.
Which I thought was encouraging in terms of, inviting people to church. Doesn't necessarily mean that they said that they would accept an invitation, but half would not be uncomfortable coming to a regular church service. And for Christmas and Easter, it was higher than that.
Yeah.
Another thing that was interesting was the online aspect. If you then ask people, would it make it easier for you to come if it was online? For in-person church service type stuff, it didn't really help. It might actually kind of dissuade some people. Yeah. But for a small group and one-to-one evangelistic stuff, so, an evangelistic course or reading the Bible with a Christian, offering it online might actually slightly increase the likelihood of someone coming along to that. Yeah. So it was interesting. And I think in terms of the church leader stuff, it was interesting actually that the COVID didn't seem to have made overall a massive impact on lots of stuff. So both for people's openness to evangelism, a little bit more openness among the sort of 18 to 25 bracket, but not a massive amount. Most people, similar openness to evangelism before and after. And with church leaders, some churches gone up, some down, some flat, but it actually evened out pretty much.
It's anecdotal, but we keep hearing stories of church leaders of more conversions in the last 18 months than they've seen in previous periods of similar length, which is interesting just in terms of dynamic. It sounds as though when that's out, that's a whole nother episode to come back to and just explore some of that data, because it is fascinating to see what's going on. And as you say, to have some of that information at your fingertips, just hearing that people would be comfortable coming along to a service, that would just help people give an invitation, say this is not dead yet. We can invite someone along at Easter, or we can invite someone along at Christmas. These things aren't completely gone, are they, from culture?
I think another thing, again, should probably keep some powder dry, but I think it was interesting that a lot of church members are doing evangelism and are not perhaps quite as scared about it as some church leaders might think they are. So I think church leaders are worried for their congregations that they will be being afraid of being called bigots and sort of just being very nervous about it. But actually, the sort of fear level seemed to be actually slightly less among church members than we might imagine. So.
Well, I shall talk to you again about that, because it sounds really interesting and worth exploring. Thanks, Andy, for joining us. Really appreciate it. This is Independence FIC podcast. I'm Adrian Reynolds. Thank you for joining us. And you can subscribe in the normal way through your podcast provider. And we look forward to getting back together with you in our next episode. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.